Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. So I want to go over a part of the economy that I am extremely bullish on. And quite frankly, I can't believe CNBC isn't talking about this. I mean, after all, aren't they the channel for business? Like when I want to find out what's happening with the economy, when I want to find out what's happening with major industries in the United States, we go to CNBC, right? But for some reason, I haven't seen them talking about this at all. And it could be a huge investment opportunity. That is right. So the part of the economy that I'm referring to that is absolutely on fire, there is no doubting this whatsoever, is now shoplifting. That's right. In New York City, and we're going to go over some video clips here in a moment, but in New York City, I just read an article that says, and this is just in New York City. This is not across the United States, although it's a problem across the United States, that's for sure. But in New York City, this has become a $4.4 billion industry. $4.4 billion in just New York City. I mean, these numbers are staggering. And quite frankly, I'm extremely bullish on the industry overall. As sad as that sounds. In fact, I mean, why don't these gangs just create some sort of publicly traded entity? I mean, and just turn it into a meme stock, for heaven's sakes. I mean, if they can take GameStop up to 400, if they can take Truth Social up to $60 or $70 a share, why can't they take, what would the ticker be? Like STEL. Why can't they take ticker symbol STEEL up to, who knows, $1,000 a share? I mean, the sky's the limit. Because again, if you want to talk about AI being a growth industry, no chance. The AI? No. That's yesterday's news. The real, real growth industry is shoplifting. That is for sure. So let's go over to this video. Let me do a screen share. I don't know where Josh is. He's off gallivanting around in a private jet, probably heading over to Monaco, sipping Dom Perignon or something at the ripe old age of 21. But let's go over, where is it? Here it is. And this is from a kid that's got a YouTube channel. I'd highly recommend it. His name is Cash Jordan. And you could just type that into the search bar on YouTube and his channel will come right up. And he does all of these vlogs on what is actually happening right now in New York City. And it's not like he's a political guy. He's not like far right, you know, far right. And he's just right in the middle of the road. In fact, he rarely talks about politics. But let's check out part of his most recent video here.
Been losing millions of dollars as a result of retail theft. And New York City saw the largest surge in shoplifting since 2019 than any other U.S. city, according to a study.
Malls, supermarkets, discount stores, all shutting down because shoplifting here is now so bad it is a $4.4 billion part of the state's economy, and it's only getting worse.
Tonight, a massive retail theft ring bust in New York, leading to 41 people arrested.
Across the country, shoplifting and organized retail theft cost retailers an estimated $69 billion a year.
Box after box are removed from the home. Those Ulta Beauty products ending up on an Amazon digital storefront called the Online Makeup Store at deep discounts.
More than 80% of retail workers say that they are worried about an active shooter coming into their workplace.
Went back to the early 90s. They feel like the...
At 80%? How is that not 100%? Like, show me, in fact, I'll tell you who the other 20% are. They're the ones that are probably involved in the gangs. They're the ones that are probably tipping off all of their buddies who are at the shoplifter. I mean, why wouldn't you have like a plant? Why wouldn't you? It's like a drug mule or something like that. You're like, hey, buddy, Walmart's hiring. Why don't you go get a job and then just accidentally leave the back door open for us? And then we're going to cruise in there and we'll give you 5% of the profit. I mean, that's probably the other 20%. The only way that you wouldn't be worried about interactions with a shoplifter or being shot or stabbed with a knife as if you were part if you were part of the crew.
Law protects them like there are no consequences.
At a time when retail workers are routinely dealing with armed or violent criminals, their state assembly member is blocking an effort to create stiffer penalties for violent criminals that target retail workers.
The sheer volume.
Can you imagine being a politician and blocking a law for stiffer penalties, not just against shoplifters, but shoplifters who commit a violent act against one of the store workers? I mean, I would love to have a conversation with that person and try to understand their rationale, saying, no, the laws are way too extreme. And if one of the shoplifters comes in and stabs one of the workers, well, that should be, we should not frown upon that because it's not the shoplifter's fault. In fact, it's the worker's fault because the worker probably, the worker probably had some sort of microaggression against the shoplifter. So the real criminal is the worker because they shouldn't have microaggressed the guy that was running around screaming with a knife. That's how insane this is getting.
Of stolen goods fills a truck.
This is just one of several U-Hauls that is full of merchandise suspected to be stolen.
Ah. who clicks on these ads, by the way?
So shoplifting is now one of the most profitable businesses in New York. But what nobody's talking about is
I told you guys,
that even though
one of the most profitable businesses in New York. I mean, I know I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of not. The way this is headed, and at certain point, they're just going to legalize shoplifting. And then why won't it? Why won't they organize and have like an IPO? Crazier things have happened in the last 3 to 4 years.
Everybody knows shoplifting is a massive problem here. It's only going to get worse because state lawmakers just had the chance to increase penalties for retail-related crime, and they said, you know what? That's not a good idea. We're not going to do that. Meanwhile, every single store from your dollar store to your drugstore is a criminal's paradise. And we've seen brands like Target close locations, and one of the newest malls in New York City, which cost over $1 billion to build, is now completely closed. All the stores shut down inside over crime.
Talk about a misallocation of resources. Jeez. Let's just take $1 billion. And not only that, think about all the commodities that went into building that mall. All the steel, all the glass, all the petroleum products that could have been used in other ways. But now they're just basically a giant paperweight on a block. And not only that, the land, for heaven's sakes, under the mall is now pretty much unusable because who's going to buy the mall? Because you've got to pay to demo it, and it might not even be worth it. And who wants to take the liability of the property taxes? I mean, the consequences of this problem are so far-reaching that it's really difficult to get your head around.
Because the city's leaders think punishing criminals will somehow make the problem worse. But critics say not punishing shoplifters is why we now have professional shoplifters.
Critics say that. Critics. How about anyone with half of a brain says this is why shoplifting has increased? You could ask a third grader, and they could anything be more obvious?
This is what they do 40, 50, 60 hours a week, proving that crime pays in New York unlike anywhere else in the country. And critics also say shoplifting is a tax on the poor because every single time something gets stolen, it's another reason for retailers to raise prices, which hurts the law-abiding who don't steal things for a living. But to understand the real reasons why shoplifting here is such a problem, you've got to understand New York's laws don't just encourage shoplifting. No, they actually go so far as to protect criminals, allowing them to operate in ways that are so blatant and so visible, most retailers don't stand a chance. So here we are inside Ulta Beauty, and stores like this are a massive target for shoplifters, not just here in New York, but all across the country.
A National Retail Federation survey of companies identified Los Angeles, San Francisco, Oakland, New York, and Seattle as the top
of Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and Seattle. I wonder what they have in common. Houston, I don't know why they're in there in the mix, but I mean, is it not obvious what's going on. You know what was funny is I was listening to a podcast with my good buddy Chris Irons the other day, the QTR podcast, where he was interviewing Mark Spiegel, who's a New York native. And they were sitting there riffing on why Mark doesn't leave New York altogether. Oh, excuse me. Actually, this part, they're talking about Amazon Prime. And Chris was talking about how he doesn't really want Amazon Prime because if he wants to get some fingernail clippers, CVS is two blocks down the street. And you know, why would I order it on Amazon? It's just an extra cost that I don't need. And Mark, the New York native, was saying, yeah, but nowadays you can't even go into CVS or Walgreens because everything's locked up. So it's more convenient to order through Amazon and wait for them to deliver it the next day or two instead of having to go down there and try A, to find it, and then B, wait for someone who's probably has PTSD, one of these workers, from being shot at or being stabbed or as part of the criminal gang themselves. You got to wait for them to open up or to go in the back and get a bottle of shaving cream for you. But that's a good example that dovetails on this exact topic. And it's not just in New York City. It's in all these major markets. And I don't know why it wouldn't spread, at least in a lot of these blue states. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do. And this year, it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers. Guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. Again, the way they're going with this, they're just going to legalize it, for heaven's sakes. As crazy as that sounds, I put like a 10% probability on shoplifting being legal within the next 5 years in a lot of these states. And I think it already is legal, basically, in Los Angeles and California, because, well, effectively it is, because they won't prosecute anyone that steals less than $1,000.
Major cities hit by retail crime. Organized rings, as opposed to lightning flash smash and grabs, use what are called boosters to steal items that then go to fencers who resell them for cash.
I think people feel like it's hopeless.
So we know that New York has a $4.4 billion shoplifting economy, and in every economy, you've got different people doing different things to allow it to get that big. And the people stealing from stores like this, they're just part of the equation, because stealing's only half the battle. After they get these products out of the store, they got to bring them somewhere, and they've got to get help to get them into the hands of customers. And behind each person who steals something off a shelf, there is an entire network of warehouses and distributors that help them get these things into the hands of people who think they're legitimately buying them. At the bottom of this pyramid, you've got the thugs on the street that are stealing, and at the top, you've got the millionaires who are making bank. For example, that overpriced product you found online, extra cheap, yeah, that was probably stolen from here. And in a city like New York, where stealing under $1,000 worth of stuff is just a misdemeanor, this is a recipe for disaster.
Well, there you go. I don't know if you heard that, but I was talking about California not really prosecuting theft under $1,000. In New York City, it's only a misdemeanor. And what do you expect? It's like Charlie Munger. Show me the incentives, and I'll show you the outcome. If you legalize stealing, why are we shocked if the rate of stealing increases? this stuff isn't rocket science.
Not just here in New York, but in every city with lax laws that don't punish criminals.
Prosecutors say the alleged ringleader, Ronnie Rubinoff, directed teams to go after specific items to steal. And alleged Rubinoff even signed a lease on a warehouse in New York with plans to open a department store-like facility stocked with stolen goods.
That's what I'm talking about. And I didn't even see this part of the video. Did you see that? This one ringleader is so blatant with it. He's got these crews, these teams that are out there stealing, and he's doing it to such a degree that he's leasing space to start his own storefront that deals exclusively in stolen goods. So why won't he go public? This is going to be the next dollar store.
Now, organized retail theft, that's just one type of the shoplifting that goes on in New York City. And because of the internet, operations like this can thrive in ways they used to not be able to. And when the online store runs low on inventory, they put out the call to their thugs to go get more stuff. And criminals essentially have shopping lists of the items they're supposed to bring back. And what's crazy is every time a customer buys a stolen product from Ulta on Amazon, Amazon directly benefits, but the store here has to take the hit. Which brings up the scary possibility that a company like Amazon doesn't...
And it's not just the store. He mentioned this earlier. At the end of the day, it's the law-abiding citizens that pay for these illegal activities.
Really care about physical retail theft. It's not their problem. And we often hear from lawmakers that, oh, people are just trying to feed themselves and their families. But how in the world is that the case when you've got shopping lists, warehouses, and online marketplaces? And it's almost like many of the lawmakers that defend criminals want you to think that if you obey the law in this country, you're going to starve.
A massive retail theft ring bust in New York, leading to 41 people arrested. Authorities say it went much further than just petty shoplifting.
Our investigators...
Wow, that's crazy. So a year ago, $3.8 million worth of stolen stuff right here in New York. And since then, mega theft operations have been popping up all over the country. And we're not talking about Aladdin stealing bread to survive. We're talking about full-blown businesses with inventory lists, warehouse distribution, and packing facilities, all made possible by soft-on-crime policies that don't punish anyone for doing anything wrong. And think about it. If you can steal whatever you want in New York under $1,000, that's like having a get-out-of-jail-free card, and criminals know it. And because of inflation and the internet, you've got hard-hit consumers just out there looking for a good deal. These are well-meaning people.
Yeah, that's a great point he makes. Great point. You've got a perfect storm. You've got basically no laws against shoplifting, and then you've got inflation, or said maybe a better way, negative real wages. So people's purchasing power has been declining substantially over the last 4 years to the point where a lot of these dollar stores, by the way, are going out of business. And if the dollar stores are going out of business, you know the U.S., the average Joe and Jane, the poor and middle class, they're being squeezed. And therefore, what are they going to do? What do you expect them to do? When you can't afford to put food on the table and you have to buy some of these products, that obviously, that's why Walmart exists, for heaven's sakes, because they were the low-cost leader. That's the niche they filled in the market. Why did they get so popular? Because they had cheap prices, for heaven's sakes. And in an environment where people not only want cheap prices, but they have to have cheap prices just to survive, then why should we not expect the demand for these stolen goods to skyrocket? Again, I'm not saying it's ethical. We're just putting ethics and morals aside right now to understand why this is so prevalent and why this is, quite frankly, the largest growth industry in all the United States. So on the supply side, you've got infinite supply. Well, not infinite, but you know, almost infinite supply. Because what happens when the retailers, when their shelves are no longer full, they've got to restock them, right? Or they just go out of business. I mean, I think that's really the end game here, is these entities, these retailers just close their doors and go somewhere else, or they start to exclusively sell online, and then Amazon basically controls the universe.
People buying this stuff, and half of America probably has no idea that when they make an online purchase, they're supporting organized crime. And the question no one wants to answer is, could armies of criminals thrive in New York if they were all in jail? Probably not, but it isn't just stores with high-value physical products that are in trouble. No, in fact, even places that sell perishable items like food are in danger of shutting down. So here we are at the local supermarket, but because food is perishable in nature, operations that want to lift from these places are a little bit different than an online theft ring.
You gotta sell it within 3 blocks of the store, otherwise it melts. The other thing, with the laundromat, they go to the local laundromat and they sell them the Tide soap and they sell them the soap that's available.
So I never knew why detergent was such a popular item to steal, but now it makes a lot of sense. Even the most unsophisticated of criminals can take something from a store like this and then turn it around into instant money at the nearest laundromat. Because in New York, most apartments don't have laundry in them. People are all using laundromats. Even we use one sometimes when our tiny little machine gets overloaded after a trip. But it's crazy to imagine that even food items are in jeopardy. And apparently when people steal something like ice cream, they run it to the nearest bodega and try to offload it.
So guys will go in there with a garbage bag, load it up with all the Häagen-Dazs in the place, run to the nearest bodega, unload it at the bodega. They have to move very, very quickly because obviously the clock is ticking because the ice cream could melt. Now, this...
So what's fascinating about this is that if you own a bodega, you may have set it up near a local supermarket.
This is, I mean, you guys get the drift here. It's just unbelievable. And you've got to ask yourself, what's the end game here? Because it's not like this is just going to flatline as far as this trend. It's not like what we've seen right now is peak shoplifting. You know, it's a little bit like inflation, right? In the sense that if you have the government coming out and creating these massive distortions and you, or in the case of the GFC, the opposite, you know, you get massive deflation. If you have the government creating these massive economic distortions, you should expect prices over the long run to go up, to continue to go higher and higher and higher, right? Even if there's a momentary blip or it stops at flat lines for a moment, the trend is up. So unless something happens to where the trend would go the other way, but you have to have some sort of catalyst, right? So what's the catalyst going to be here? Well, I think if we're just using common sense, the catalyst would be all of these stores, or the vast majority of them, shutting down to the point where it's no longer profitable to steal because there's just not enough inventory. And then these theft rings, if you want to call them that, are put into a position just like a normal business where they've got this overhead, which is X, and they've got the incoming inventory that they're selling immediately, but that's not covering their overhead. And therefore, they then go out of business just like a normal legal business would if their expenses exceed their cash flows. So that's one outcome that we could see. And that's just the free market taking it into their own hands, which of course is disproportionately going to negatively impact the poor and middle class in the local area. Then what you have is this just continuing until you just get social unrest. And then the net result of that would probably be what we discussed in the first option, because that social unrest leads to more and more of these stores closing down. And the social unrest is basically a derivative of the average Joe and Jane that doesn't have access to these goods because the stores are closing. So it's like one feeds on the other. And then the third option would just be to get tougher on crime. Imagine that. But I think the probability of that is rather low. I mean, you have to ask yourself, it's not like this has been a problem just for the last 3 months, for heaven's sakes. This has been a problem for the last 3 years, the last 4 years. So if the politicians haven't been incentivized to do anything up to today, and in fact, are out there claiming that the laws against these criminals should be even more lax, that the laws are too tight, that the laws are too strict, after 4 years of this insanity, I don't know how we fast forward another 4 years and somehow these politicians find religion. Obviously, that would be the optimal outcome. But I think those are really the three directions we can go here. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism, and the rule of law. I'll see you on the next video.